This is Dr. Cassieri with Andersonville Baptist Seminary as we continue our study in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as we begin lesson number 7. If you're following on your outline, we're under point number 6, the work of the Holy Spirit concerning the Scripture. Concerning the Scripture, we're looking at point number 2. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of Scriptures. We read in Ephesians chapter number 1, if you turn to Ephesians with me, chapter 1, in verse 17, Paul's praying for the Ephesians. He says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." So Paul was praying that the believers at Ephesus would be given the Spirit of wisdom so they could understand the Scriptures. Amen. Then we read also in 1 John chapter 2, 1st Epistle of John chapter 2, in verse number 20, verse 20 we read, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And then in verse 27 we read, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Of course, talking about the Holy Spirit in relation to interpreting the Scriptures for the believer. The Holy Spirit is not only the author of the Scripture, but the divine interpreter of Scriptures. And some good references I'm going to give you to compare is the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, and to compare those with Luke chapter 24, verses 32, 44, and 45. The Holy Spirit has supernaturally communicated the Scriptures to man. We have received them and do understand them by the following three means. First of all, revelation. Revelation. Now, revelation is that process whereby the Holy Spirit spoke to the 40 human writers of the Bible the message He wanted them to transmit. That's revelation. The third means, or the second of the three means, is inspiration. Inspiration is that process whereby the Holy Spirit guided the 40 writers using their own individual styles and personalities so that the message was accurately recorded without error. And then finally, we have illumination. Illumination. That process whereby the Holy Spirit takes the written word when it is preached and read and enlightens those who will receive it. So again, we have received the Scriptures and do understand them by the following three means. Again, revelation, inspiration, and illumination. Now we want to continue. Again, we're looking at point number 6 on our outline, the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to begin point number C under that, the work of the Holy Spirit concerning Israel, the nation Israel. And we want to just make a general comment as we see as we go along. In the Old Testament, unlike this side of Calvary after Christ was crucified, the believers today have a permanent indwelling Holy Spirit. And of course, that was not the case in the Old Testament. the Old Testament believer, and we're going to see that as we go along. First of all, we want to see the Holy Spirit's ministry to Israel as a nation took place during the Old Testament period, but it will resume during the tribulation. Charles Ryrie says, apparently the Spirit's work in believers during the tribulation period will follow the pattern of his work in the Old Testament. Specific proof texts are scarce, for the Bible says very little about the Spirit's ministry during that time. One text that can be used is the quotation of Joel 2 and Acts 2, because for whatever purpose it was quoted on the day of Pentecost, it obviously did not have a complete fulfillment on that day. Full fulfillment awaits the tribulation days, since the passage expressly links the pouring out of the Spirit when the time when the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. These events will occur at the close of the tribulation, just before the second coming of Christ. And we can see that in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 29 and 30. Another proof text is Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, which links the ministry of the two witnesses during the tribulation to the power of the Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The Holy Spirit's relation to the individuals during the Old Testament period is noticeably different from his relation to the New Testament saint. First of all, we want to look at selective indwelling. It appears that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit during the Old Testament period is noticeably different. It appears the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament times was not the universal experience of God's people. His relationship may be comprehended by three words. First of all, it is said that the Spirit was in certain ones. For example, look at Joseph was an example of that. Look at Genesis chapter 41 with me in verse 38. Genesis 41 verse 38. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 38, Bible tells us concerning Joseph, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So clearly in the Old Testament the Spirit was in Joseph. Also we read in Numbers, if you turn to Numbers chapter 27 with me, Numbers 27 and verse number 18, the Bible tells us that also the Spirit was in Joshua. Look at it in Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 with me. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. So we see the scriptures tell us clearly that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was in Joshua. Also, another Old Testament character that the Spirit was in, we're told, was Daniel. Look at in Daniel, the prophet Daniel with me, please. Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter number 4. In verse number 8. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the Spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream saying. Also, other references that mention that the Spirit was in Daniel are found in Daniel chapter 5 in verses 11 through 14, and also Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. Second, the Spirit is said to have come upon man. And we see some references, first of all, in Judges. The book of Judges with me, please. Judges chapter 3, verse number 10. Talking about the judge, Othniel, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." Again, in chapter 6 of Judges. Chapter 6 of Judges, verse 34. "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." So we see that the Spirit came upon Gideon. Other references where, and we'll be looking at some more in particular, that it says that the Spirit came upon man in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 11, verse 29. Judges chapter 14, verse number 6. Also we see, let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter number 10 in verse 9 through 10. "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel," talking about Saul now, "God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." So we see that the Holy Spirit is said to have come upon Saul. Also, another reference to look at in Samuel is 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse number 13. We ask the question then, is there any difference between the Spirit's being in and the Spirit's coming upon men? We are probably not to understand any significant difference, except that the idea of coming upon seems to imply temporary and transitory character of the Spirit's relationship to the Old Testament saints. Again, we're looking at the Holy Spirit's relationship to man in the Old Testament. We're looking at three ways or words that comprehend this. We've looked at he came in, he came upon, and then third, the Spirit is said to have filled some. And this is recorded of Beelzebul in relationship to his leadership of craftsmen working on the tabernacle. And we can see this in Exodus chapter 31 in verse number 3, and also in Exodus chapter 35 in verse 31. One may assume that the special filling for presupposed the Spirit's indwelling, or at least his having come upon him. What do these examples indicate? Simply that although the Spirit did indwell men in the Old Testament times, it was a selective ministry, both in regard to whom he indwelt and for how long. Can this relationship be summarized in any simple way? Yes, for the Lord summarized it by telling his disciples that up to that time the Spirit had been abiding with them, though on and after the day of Pentecost, he would be in them. Look at in John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, in verse number 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." From this statement, two things are clear concerning the Old Testament work of the Spirit. It was not erratic, even though it may have been limited as to persons included in the length of time they experienced his ministry. The word abideth, in any case, does not indicate an erratic ministry. Nevertheless, his ministry was different from that which began on Pentecost. For the Lord carefully characterized the ministry as with, in contrast to in, which began at Pentecost. Although in the Old Testament there was clear instances where the Holy Spirit indwelt men, his ministry could not be described generally as a ministry of being in men, but only with them. Many things may not be clear in this contrast between with and in, but there is a contrast, it's clear. And you're going to see, read different opinions on the Holy Spirit and its work in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. The thing to remember, I think, that's clear, is today the believer is blessed. The Bible tells us when a man, woman, boy, or girl gets saved, the instant they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told that the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells them permanently, seals them until the day of redemption. That just did not happen in the Old Testament, across the board to believers. And the reason for that is, we have to remember that Christ had not come yet. He had not paid the penalty for sin. Amen. So clearly, someone in the Old Testament was not born again. Amen. Or saved the same way we are this side of Calvary. Amen. Very important to understand and make a right division on that. Now let's, continuing on as we look at the Holy Spirit, we looked at selective indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if you're following on your outline. We've looked at the Holy Spirit's relationship to man. We looked at he was in certain ones, he came upon certain ones, and he filled certain ones. Now we want to look at the Holy Spirit's work concerning Israel as far as enablement for services. We've already mentioned that Bezalel's special endowment for service in the construction of the tabernacle. And of course that's fine. Let's turn there in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, verse 3. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Let's get the context of the passage of the verse. Exodus 31. Let's look at the first two verses. Verse number 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God." So we see then that Bezalel was filled with the Holy Spirit for service, for the construction, for his workmanship in regard to the tabernacle. This supernatural ability was not to be exclusive of his native ability, but in addition to it. Some of the judges some of the judges were given enablement. We see, for example, in Judges chapter 3, verse 10, Othniel was given the Spirit. Let's turn to Judges. Let's turn to the book of Judges, and we'll look at some examples as we go along here. Judges chapter 3. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, went out to war. So we see then the Spirit came upon him for service, to go out to war, to fight for Israel against their oppressors. The same way with Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 34. Judges 6, 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. Of course, again, he's going out to battle to fight for Israel against Israel's oppressors. Again, we see in Judges 11, Judges 11, verse 29, talking about another judge. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilgal and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilgal. And from Mizpah of Gilgal he passed over under the children of Ammon. Again, he's going out to battle, to fight against Israel's oppressors, to deliver them. Samson's strength was produced by the Spirit coming on him. Look at in Judges chapter 14, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him, as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or mother what he had done. So we see, this is in reference to Samson slaying the lion, amen. When David was anointed king by Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Look at 1 Samuel with me, chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter, the New Testament reveals that the Spirit in the prophets gave them discernment and wisdom. Look at in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. We read, the Bible tells us, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In this passage here we see then that the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied of the first and second coming. Let's read that verse again. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them did signify when it testified beforehand. Now this is what the Spirit of Christ, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And it gave the Spirit, because it was in the prophets, gave them discernment and wisdom to tell what was going to happen in the future. When it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ, which is his first coming, and we know that the prophets prophesied way before Christ ever was born of his first coming, of his suffering, and the glory that should follow. That's the second coming. when Christ will come and reign 1,000 years upon the earth. So we see right in that passage, because the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets, it gave them discernment and wisdom, and they could see into the future, predict, amen, the first and second coming of Christ. Now let's look at some Old Testament leaders in Israel that the Spirit came upon. Of course, we've looked at some already. We saw Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. Let's look at Moses in Numbers chapter 11. Book of Numbers with me, chapter 11. Numbers 11, look at in verses 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself. And of course, in verse 17 of Numbers 11, what God is telling Moses is he's going to take the Spirit which is upon Moses and put it upon the 70 elders. Amen. So they'll be able to judge and to help him out to do the work. Also, we saw the Spirit came upon Othniel in Judges chapter 3, verse 10. The Spirit also came upon Gideon, we saw in Judges chapter 6, verse 34. The Spirit also came upon Jephthah, another judge, in Judges 11, verse 29. And we see also that the Spirit came upon Samson at least three times. We see that in Judges chapter 14, verses 6 and 19. Also in Judges chapter 15 and verses 14 and 15. Also we see that the Spirit came upon Saul. We saw that earlier. After he was anointed by king by Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verse 10. Also, we see that the Spirit came upon Saul just before his victory at Jabesh Gilead. Look at 1 Samuel with me, chapter 11. 1 Samuel, chapter 11, and verse number 6. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 11. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Also, we're told, and we saw earlier, that the Spirit came upon David. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. And unlike Saul's case, we are never told that the Holy Spirit departed from David. However, on one occasion, David feared he might lose the Holy Spirit. In Psalm chapter 51, verse 11. And we're going to look at three cases, interesting cases of three Old Testament figures, characters in the Bible, and how the Holy Spirit worked on them, his ministry concerning, we're going to look at, in just a moment, Saul, Samson, and David. Also, we see in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit came upon Elijah, as testified by the prophet Obadiah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12. Also as testified by the prophets at Jericho in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16. We also see that the Holy Spirit came upon Elisha, the prophet, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. Also, let's look at it. The Spirit came upon Ezekiel, the prophet. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And we see, and it says in Ezekiel 2:2 concerning Ezekiel, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Also, we see, or we saw earlier, that the Spirit came upon the prophet Daniel, and this is seen as testified by King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter number 4, verse 9, is testified by a frightened queen in Daniel chapter 5, verse 11, and also is testified by King Darius in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. Also, we're told that the Spirit came upon the prophet Micah. Look at in Micah with me. The prophet Micah. Micah chapter 3, verse number 8. Micah chapter 3, verse number 8. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin. Micah said, but I am truly full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit obviously came upon Micah. Also, the Spirit, we're told, came upon Azariah the prophet in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 1. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles just for a second. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles with me. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, in verse number 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So we see then, we're told in Scripture that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, came upon the prophet Azariah. Also, we're told in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit came upon the Zechariah, the high priest. Look at in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, in verse number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse number 20 with me. We read in the Scriptures, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. As we see a pattern here with the prophets, we see that the Spirit came upon them. This is how they were able to speak, the way they were able to speak, amen, with great boldness and great pronouncement of judgment, amen, because they had the Spirit upon them. We see this today even, like I said, this side of Calvary, we have an permanent indwelling Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, when you allow the Holy Spirit, when you're submitted to the Holy Spirit, for example, you can tell when you're witnessing to someone, a lost soul in the Spirit, because the words just seem to flow. Did you ever have an opportunity? I think we all have. When we try to witness in the flesh, it's a total failure. Amen. So when the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit as believers, amen, it's things just seem to happen, amen, because of the power of the Spirit in the believer. We also see, we saw earlier in reference to the Spirit came upon Moses, but he also, that God told him the same Spirit that came upon him was going to come upon the elders of Israel. And we saw that in Numbers 11:25. Also, turn to Exodus chapter 40, we see that the Holy Spirit came upon Israel's tabernacle. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40 with me, in verse 34 and 35. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So we see then, after everything was finished, the glory of the Lord, the Spirit, came upon Israel's tabernacle. Also, we see that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, that also the Spirit of the Lord came upon, the Holy Spirit came upon Israel's temple, again in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10. Also, we're told that Israel was led through the desert by the Spirit. Look at in Nehemiah. Nehemiah with me, please. Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 20. Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 20. Thou gavest also thy good Spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. So we see then, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20, the Spirit led them through the desert, amen. Now, we want to look at, again, we're looking at the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit concerning Israel. We've looked at selective indwelling, the Holy Spirit's relation to man. He was in certain ones. He came upon certain ones. The Spirit filled certain ones. We looked at enablement for services. We looked at Old Testament leaders that the Spirit came upon. Now we want to look at three Old Testament leaders' relationship with the Holy Spirit. We want to examine it. We want to see some things, some interesting things that hopefully you'll find interesting. First, we want to look at David. What's interesting about David is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, again in the Old Testament, could come upon, be in, stay, or leave an individual believer. What we want to see, what's interesting about David in relationship to the Holy Spirit, King David, was he came upon David. He came upon David and in David, and he stayed and never left. Looking at 1 Samuel again, I know we've looked at this verse before, but I want you to see this again, just so you have it set in your mind. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse number 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So we see then that the Spirit came upon David that day that he was anointed by Samuel. and we're told that it never left. We don't see anywhere that the Spirit departed or left David. Although we do, David realized, though, again, the believer in the Old Testament did not have a permanent indwelling Holy Spirit, because David was concerned about losing the Holy Spirit because of his sin, the sin of adultery, amen, with Bathsheba, and of course, the sin of murder, murdering Uriah, her husband, because he says in the Psalm 51, where he's confessing his sin, Psalm 51, he says something very interesting. Psalm 51:11, David says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So David evidently knew that the Old Testament believer could lose the Holy Spirit. And he's pleading with God not to take it away because of his sin, amen? But we see, again, the evidence we see in Scripture is the Holy Spirit came but never left David. He's an exception to the rule, amen? I believe the reason for this is David had a promise with God in the Old Testament that few Old Testament saints had. Because David was a son of Jesse, a picture of Christ. David was a picture of Christ and got some promises that others did not, amen. Because we know that David, Christ is from David's seed, amen. And we know that Christ is going to reign and rule in David's throne someday on this earth for 1,000 years, amen. So there's the case of David. The Holy Spirit came, he stayed and never left. He could have, obviously, but he stayed. Now let's look at another interesting case. Saul. With Saul, we have the case of the Spirit coming upon and then leaving. We see that he came upon Saul and then he later left Saul. Let's compare some scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 10. Talking about Saul. "And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." And of course, it's talking about Saul. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit came upon Saul. Now look at what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." So here we have a case, amen, of the Spirit coming upon Saul and then departing, and we don't read or see in the Scriptures where that Holy Spirit ever came upon Saul again after it departed, amen? Interesting case. So David's a case where the Holy Spirit came, could have left, didn't, never left, stayed. Here we have a case where, with Saul, of the Holy Spirit coming upon, departing, and not ever coming back. Now, let's look at a third case, Samson. Here's a case where the Spirit came upon with Samson. He came upon Samson. He left Samson, and then he returned. Look at in Judges. Judges chapter 14 with me. The book of Judges, chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, verse 6. We read, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him," talking about Samson. Again in verse 19 of Judges 14, verse 19. "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them." Judges 15. Judges 15, verse 14. "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands." So when the Spirit came upon Samson, this is when he got his strength. Now let's look at something interesting. Judges chapter 16, verse 20. "And she said," this is Delilah, the she, "the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." So here we see now a time, this is after his hair's been cut, amen. The Philistines have come upon him. He thinks, like past experience, the Spirit's going to come upon him, he's going to get strength, and he's going to be able to get himself out of the jam. But not this time. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and he didn't know it. And of course, we see what happens here is the Philistines bind him, blind him, and we find him grinding in the prison house.